Yeah, sir. What's popping? How we doing?
All right, so we back and we're starting series here. 7-round mocks. Every team in this episode will be doing the AFC East. George has the Pats and the Bills. I got the Jets and the Dolphins. Let's get right into it.
All right. Do you want to go first or how you want to do this?
Yeah, I'll go first.
What?
So I'll first present to you the Jets, who have the highest pick of any of these teams. So at number two, where they're selecting the first round, I have them getting Zach Wilson, quarterback from BYU, super talented quarterback. Everyone's comparing him to he's the upside of Mahomes. Everyone said that about Jordan Love last year too. But really, really good athlete, and unbelievable arm talent and what he can do with the football. He's got pretty good accuracy, a tough physical kid. He proved a lot this year, and he had a Joe Burrow leap up the draft boards. I like him a lot as a prospect. One thing that does, make me a little bit nervous about taking him at two is the fact that he didn't face much competition at college, and that could certainly be a problem in the NFL. The Jets' next pick is at 23, and while I could see them taking an edge rusher here in Azeez Ojulari or someone of that, I had them getting Kadarius Toney, wide receiver from Florida. Toney's a guy that just creates space and a huge weapon, and Robert Saleh coming from the Shanahan style, system with LaFleur, who's also coming as the offensive coordinator. I think Toney would be a really good fit with the Niners, and so I don't see why they couldn't, work him in here in the Jets. Absolute weapon, threat to score anytime he touches the football. Incredible quickness. And he's actually a pretty good route runner. So he just creates space, and it'll be very, very helpful for the young quarterback that they just drafted at two with Zach Wilson. At 34, in the second pick in the second round, I have the Jets going Javonte Williams, running back, North Carolina. It wouldn't shock me if both ETN and Najee Harris were off the board. So here's my running back three here. Which that did happen in this scenario. Some people may say a little bit of a reach, but he's got incredible athleticism, and he just produces. Every year at college, he's been one of the most dynamic runners in the nation, and he just produces. He's a physical guy, and he's a bruiser, and he's a threat on every down, which will be very helpful for. For it would be very helpful for this, struggling Jets offense that it had a hard time putting up points, and now they don't have Le'Veon Bell anymore. And Frank Gore, I don't think you can go into him. You can go into the year with him as running back one. Maybe they pick up somebody in free agency like a Marlon Mack. I think that's a pretty good fit, but I like Javonte Williams here. 66. I have the Jets going Carlos Basham Jr., edge out of Wake Forest. I wouldn't be surprised. I think he'll go earlier than this. I think he could go mid second round just because of his incredible athletic upside. He's 270, and the ex they have him listed as 280 here. But the explosion he has out of his stance is just incredible. And for a guy who's 280, it's mind-boggling how fast he gets out of his stance, and that first step that he takes kind of reminds me, his athleticism reminds me of Von Miller and how people just continuously talk about him and his first step during his prime. And Boogie Basham can make some plays. He fits a 4-3, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets do transition to that because that is what Robert Saleh ran with the Niners, and he could bring that scheme over here, which I think Carlos Basham would be the first piece to really change that defense around. At 86, I have the New York Jets going Sean Wade, corner out of Ohio State. They do have pretty solid corners. Bryce Hall, who was one of the best corners in the nation 2 years ago, They got him as a steal in the fourth round, I believe, last year, and he played pretty well. And they have some other guys there too. But Sean Wade can fill in here as a slot corner. I mean, we saw what happened when he plays outside, against talent like Devontae Smith. So, he's overrated, I think. But he definitely has to be, in the slot. I think he's actually pretty good in the slot. But I don't know. This is a very controversial prospect. A lot of people don't like him, but I think he'll fit well with this defense. At 107, I have the New York Jets selecting Kenny Yeboah, tight end, Ole Miss. Chris Herndon isn't getting the job done, and they need a tight end. So get to Neon, new weapon, security blanket for the future. Kenny Yeboah, has great. He actually has pretty good athleticism and speed for a tight end. He's actually pretty good at in run blocking, and when you put him 1-on-1, he can sometimes win against the ends, which is pretty impressive. But he's just a versatile weapon, and that's exactly what the Jets need right now, weapons. 147. This was before the Marcus May, not Marcus, yeah, Marcus May tag. So I had them getting James Wiggins, but now I feel like they're kind of set at safety. But James Wiggins is a physical guy that can step in, and he can cover, and he's just his athletic ability to be able to just take a ball out of the air, and his ball hawking like skill set is really impressive, and I wouldn't be surprised if they spend a fifth round pick here on him. Trey at 155, I have them going Trey Hill, guard from Georgia. I think that this is a good pick for the New York Jets because they just need offensive line help. They tried to kind of put a band-aid on it last year with the signing of players like George Fant. But they just drafted Mekhi Becton, who is their left tackle of the future, and so you kind of just have to keep building off that with solid offensive linemen for the future. 199, I have the Jets going Shaka Toney. It's probably best in the wide nine scheme, but would definitely works in the 4-3 as well because it's basically that. But he's just a designated pass rusher. That could, line up across from Carlos Basham if that's who they decide to draft and make a pivotal move from a 3-4 to a 4-3 in New York. And with the last pick at 245, I have the New York Jets going Trevon Grimes, wide receiver from Florida, 6'4", 217, jump ball, excuse me, very good jump ball catcher and would work well as a wide receiver three. In his offense, or four if they decide to keep Jameson Crowder. But you just add to an incredible wide receiving core that they're trying, incredible and young wide receiving core that they would try to build up through over the years. That's my
All
Jets
right,
7-round
net,
mock.
you good?
Yeah.
All right, sound pretty good. All right, I just want to preface this before that, before I say it. This was I did this with the PFF mock draft simulator, so it may sound crazy who dropped where, but I'm just saying I don't actually think this will happen. But starting off, we got Mac Jones at 15 for the New England Patriots. I think he's a good pick for them. They just recently made that O-line very good with Trent Brown. I'd say it's a top five O-line in the NFL now, very solid O-line. And who else better than an Alabama quarterback to put there who needs a great O-line? Now, I know the Patriots don't have the best weapons, but we will address that. But best place to start is with the O-line up front. Good run game to start with, also with the running back Damien Harris. Second round pick for pick 46. Somehow, Kadarius Toney dropped down to 46. Patriots would love to pick him up there. Good receiver. He's very versatile. He's a very good slot player. He has good vision. He can run the ball if need be. He brings a lot of versatility to this Patriots offense that they tried running last year, not looking so good. Very good pass catcher is what tried running something. Third round with pick 96, we got Chaz Surratt. Did I pronounce that correct? Surratt, yeah. Out of North Carolina. Played quarterback and now is at linebacker. I feel like he's a good player that could develop pretty well if he just gets more time at that linebacker position. And he could be a real improvement for this Patriots linebacking core that hasn't looked the best the past years, few years after everyone left. Next up at pick 120, we got Quincy Roche. Quincy Roche is a fun player to watch. After he, what happened? He had too many concussions at Temple, right? So they wouldn't let him play. So he moved to play at Miami, University of Miami.
Well, Jalen Phillips had too many concussions at UCLA.
Oh, shoot. I'm thinking of the wrong person. Shoot. Well, Quincy Roche moves from Temple, goes to Miami, has a great season. Sack numbers didn't look too good, but he had 14.5 TFLs. That's just amazing for any player to have that many tackles for loss on a good team with a great defense like the University of Miami was. He's a standout player. I know he's going in the late fourth round, but I feel he could really do something in this league. Next up at pick 139, we have Jay Tufele. Patriots' run-stopping ability was terrible last year. They had great pass coverage, great DBs. I'd say best DBs in the NFL all around-wise. Mm-hmm. But their run-stopping was really hurting them, not having Patrick Chung, not having Dante Hightower. With Tufele, Adam Butler is a free agent this year. That would really help them out, getting a good nose, someone who can help stop the run. At 146, I have them getting that little check down, that little safety valve for Mac Jones and Hunter Long out of BC. Hunter Long is a good player. I feel like he looked pretty well when I watched his tape for college. And I feel if Mac Jones, he's going to need a safety valve with the receiving core that the Patriots have had over the years. Someone to get open, Hunter Long will be able to get open. With all the stuff that's going on with the Patriots, the DBs, you see Jason McCourty's most likely not going to come back. Stephon Gilmore maybe get traded. J.C. Jackson is a restricted free agent, and it's a second-round tender to sign him. Israel Mukwamu? Is that how you pronounce it? Mukwamu out of South Carolina. Good cornerback to draft here. Put him in. Get him a few reps in nickel and dime sets and kind of develop him even more. To pick on the running back situation, Patriots love to have a big running back system and have a lot of them in there. But they're most likely going to lose Rex Burkhead here. They're going to lose also maybe James White. Jarrett Patterson out of Buffalo, he had a great game. Didn't he have like six touchdowns one game and like, right? That was him. Six touchdowns.
It was eight. He had 400 yards, eight touchdowns.
400 yards, eight touchdowns. New record for NCAA, pretty sure. Great, solid running back for the Patriots to draft to add to their three running backs they need to make a solid run game. 199, I have them getting a guard out of South Carolina, Sedarius Hutcherson. Right now, their O-line doesn't look like it needs that much help, but as Shaq Mason and David Andrews get into their 30s, they will either retire soon or start to leave. And knowing Bill Belichick, he probably will let them go. So trying to build up that O-line in the late rounds would be helpful planning for the future. Last pick at 241, I have them getting my boy Tuff Borland out of Ohio State. Good middle linebacker there. He was all right. He was a captain. I mean, there's not much I can say. He's a seventh rounder. Hopefully he makes an impact in the NFL. I like him as a player. Let's see. All right.
So my second team that I did was the Miami Dolphins. I feel pretty strong about this, that the Dolphins should go Penei Sewell here at number three. A lot of people have them going Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith. Honestly, if it were me, I would trade down from this spot, hope to acquire two first-round picks, whether it's both this year or in future years. We're doing it without trades to prevent messiness.
Messy.
So I have them at three going Penei Sewell. People throw around the term generational talent, but this dude truly is a generational talent. Incredible strength and quickness for an offensive lineman. Can fit a power run, best fit in a power run scheme, and the Dolphins will want to certainly run the ball a lot and play time possession game with Tua as a quarterback. Not a knock against Tua, but that's just how he best fits the offense. Run the set pass, check down, check down, check down, and then you hit the deep ball. And Penei Sewell will certainly be a franchise left tackle for Tua. At 18, I have the Dolphins going Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes earlier than this, but his athletic upside is incredible. He's a safety playing linebacker. You can move him all around the field. He can get after the passer. He makes tackles in the backfield. His versatility is just incredible and would be such a huge help for this Dolphins defense, who needs another inside linebacker. Or a rotational outside linebacker to drop into coverage, or even possibly if you want to put him out there as nickel safety. At 36, this one might be a little bit of a reach or a little bit, you might think he's falling too far. It depends on how you think of this person as a prospect. But I have them going Joseph Asai, edge out of Texas. He can play with his hand in the dirt or stand up, but I think he'd fit this 3-4 very well as he's only 245. You'd like to see him reach that 250 if he were to fit a 4-3. But this is kind of the Kyle Van Noy replacement. He's probably the best pass rusher that can drop into coverage in this class, or coverage pass rusher, I should say. And with the departure of Kyle Van Noy, this would be a very helpful signing for that versatility that the Dolphins and Brian Flores are looking for at that outside linebacker spot. At 50, I have this guy going a lot earlier, but would not shock me at all if he starts to fall down the boards a little bit. That is Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss. The Dolphins could definitely use a speedy, quick slot guy who can create separation and get open for Tua. He can stretch the field, which will allow wide receivers like Devontae Parker and tight end Mike Gesicki to get open underneath. And if I think they should also pursue Kenny Golladay in free agency, which would allow them to have another outside receiver to pair with, the mock of Elijah Moore, who would be very, very helpful to the growth of this offense. At 81, I have the Miami Dolphins selecting Michael Carter, running back from North Carolina. I already talked about Javonte Williams, and now we're going to the other side of the 1-2 punch. Michael Carter is a very elusive, and he just has an insane burst of speed. Back who can really change this offense. He has really good receiving skills, and he really has very, very good vision, which is needed. And if they want to pair him with Gaskin, this could be a 1-2 punch for the future here in Miami. At 123, I have the Dolphins going David Moore, center slash guard from Grambling. David Moore is, a big. He has a big frame, very muscular, a little short. So you'd like to see him be a little bit taller than 6'1", but he is an unbelievable motor. He's the ultimate aggressor, and he's just a hard-nosed guy that would be well worth spending a late round pick here. At 208, I have the Dolphins bolstering up their interior defensive line with Bobby Brown, 6'4", 315 from Texas A&M. He's a, you know, he's built like a brick house basically, and he has a very mature body that helps him maintain leverage. So you know, you don't have to, you can put him at nose tackle in certain situations. He's good as a one tech, and he has a lot of experience at Texas A&M against double teams. He doesn't have, well, he has a lot of experience against double teams, but he doesn't have the best block shed. He relies on his power. But here in the seventh round, you're drafting for upside, not necessarily for need. And so I think he'd be well worth a seventh round pick here. Or I believe it's a sixth round pick because, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next up, last but certainly not least, we have the Buffalo Bills. All right, because they're good, Darrell Williams, their tackle who played surprisingly well, is gonna most likely leave in free agency. With their 30th pick, I have them going Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. Good tackle here. In this draft, I'm gonna be honest, there is a pretty big drop off at the tackle position after the first and maybe early second round. Tevin Jenkins, I feel, is a good first round tackle. He's going to play well in the NFL. He looked like a solid tackle. He looks like a solid tackle at Oklahoma State and could really help out that offense. Next up at pick 661, we have them addressing cornerback with Tay Gowan. A lot of cornerbacks are leaving the Buffalo Bills this offseason. Getting another cornerback to be on that opposite side of Tre'Davious White could really help out that secondary that they just extended Micah Hyde. Secondary is going to be lethal if they can get Tay going and he can become a good player in this league. Next up, I have them going for Ben Cleveland. They do have a starting guard leaving their team this year. O-line is really taking a couple hits here. And if Ben Cleveland out of Georgia played well, but he did have some problems if we look back on it, if when I looked back on him. And when I see him, I still feel like he can be a good guard in the NFL. Coming in the third round, he's a good bang for your buck. At pick 162, I have them getting Kobe Whiteside out of Missouri, interior D lineman. Right now, the Bills are in a 4-3, meaning they have Ed Oliver, and they really don't have another consecutively good defensive tackle. Getting someone there for that position can really help them out, kind of solidifying that inside. Next up, we have Garrett Wallow out of TCU, a linebacker at pick 175. In their 4-3, they have three linebackers. So they are losing Matt Milano, who was a really good linebacker for the Bills defense this year. He was a good off-ball linebacker, and if they can, Garrett Wallow would really be able to fit that spot. At 214, Nick Eubanks out of Michigan. If I'm honest, as much as I like Dawson Knox as a person, he hasn't been playing outstandingly well as a tight end. Getting Nick Eubanks here to kind of have either him start or running, being able to run more two tight end sets would help out that Buffalo offense. And try and get that running game going, maybe with more blockers on the field, because we know that running game has not been looking the best. And at their last pick at 234, we have TJ Vasher out of Texas Tech. As of today, Bills did cut John Brown. In addition to this, they are losing Isaiah McKenzie. So right now, their two top receivers are Cole Beasley, who is a slot, and Stephon Diggs, who's an outside receiver. And if they can get TJ Vasher, put him on that other outside, have good what they could really update their up their wide receiver core.
All right, that's all you
All
got.
right.
All
And
right.
that's all the picks
All
I
right, guys,
have.
that's gonna do it. Thank you
Yep.
guys for listening. So as we mentioned earlier, we are gonna be starting this new series going forward, leading up to drafts, leading up to the draft, and we'll be back with another one next week. Maybe later this week. Yeah.
We will be doing next week. Yeah, later this week or early next week, we will be doing the AFC. What do you want to
I don't
do?
know.
What are you
In my
feeling like?
mind, it always works east, north, south and then west. So that's how it works in my mind. So we'll go north.
All right. Well, we will be
All
doing
right.
the AFC North next
Thank
week.
Thank you. Bye.
See you guys.